You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's really a privilege to be back here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. And last week we stopped in chapter 9, verse 8. And verse 8 said, "Now when the multitude saw that great miracle," remember the paralytic man was healed. He was not only healed, but he was forgiven of his sins. So we see, people of God, that the people marveled at such a miracle, and they glorified God who has given such power to men. So we see, people of God, when great and mighty things happen, people will come to marvel at the works of God and glorify Him. So let us continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us so that God will get the glory and the praise and honor. So this week we're going to go on to Matthew 9, verse 9. Matthew 9, verse 9. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We thank you, O God, that your word, O God, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for the illumination of your word to us. And we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that your words will transform us, that we, O God, will be people, O God, who will walk in honor of your great name. So we pray this evening in the name of Jesus, O God, that our hearts and minds will be stayed upon you, Jesus, because we trust in you. Your word said faith comes by hearing, hearing by your word. So we pray as we hear your word this evening, faith will arise in our hearts, mighty God. And that we, O God and mighty Lord, will live each day expecting great and mighty works, O God, to be done in our lives through your Holy Spirit. So we just thank you again for who you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for illuminating your word to us. And thank you, O God, for your love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you for dying that we might live. And because you live, we live. We thank you for the hope we have in you, Jesus. We praise you and give you glory. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we continue in Matthew chapter 9, and we see the gospel writer, Matthew, here showing all these great and mighty works that Jesus is doing. We see Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom, but also doing great and mighty miracles among the people. So the people marveled at the great and mighty work that Jesus had done. This paralytic man, as we saw in verse 7 and going on to verse 8, that they marveled because of the paralytic man who was healed and was able to walk back to his house. He was carried to Jesus, but he walked back home whole spiritually, whole physically. And people of God, Jesus wants us to be made whole. So we see verse 9 of Matthew 9 said, "So as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him." So Matthew here is writing about himself. This is the same Matthew that writes the Gospel of Matthew. So we see, people of God, he was a tax collector. He was an enemy of the Jewish people, people of God. The Jewish people hated the tax collectors because they were working for the enemy. They were working for Rome. And many of them, people of God, would overcharge them on the taxes and take some of it for themselves. So they were seen as thieves. So they were hated by the Jewish people. But look on who Jesus called. Jesus said to Matthew, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Matthew arose and followed him. So we see, people of God, we don't see where Matthew stopped. to ask Jesus any question. But we see where he got up and followed Jesus. So we see the obedience of this tax collector, people of God, as he heard that authoritative voice of Jesus said, "Follow me." He arose and followed him. There's nothing written to say that he said, "I'm going to do this or that before I follow you." No, the word said, so he arose and followed him. Look at verse 10. "Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Look at what happened. So we're going to read Luke's account of this. So we see clearly that Jesus was now sitting in the house of Matthew, the tax collector. Luke 5, 27 through 29. Luke 5, 27 through 29 said, "After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi," the same Matthew, "sitting at the tax office, and he said, 'Follow me.' So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house." So it's showing people of God that the house that Matthew is talking about here is his house. Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. So we see, people of God, it is showing us clearly here that Matthew had invited Jesus to his own house. So when Matthew said Jesus sat at the table in the house, that house he's speaking about is his own house. "And behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." So we see, people of God, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So Jesus wasn't selective in whom he came to save. He came to save all of humanity. So even the tax collectors, even the sinners, felt comfortable coming and sitting and hearing the word of Jesus. And so Jesus is calling us, children of God, to be like him, to follow him, to emulate him, to be people who love people, who people of compassion, people who will not look down on some people, but people who will come to know that every individual needs Jesus. Every individual needs Jesus. So let us not be selective in who we tell about Jesus, but let us go and tell everyone about Jesus. Look at verse 11 of Matthew 9. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" We see, people of God, these religious leaders are always coming around. They are always spying on Jesus. They're always there to question what Jesus is doing. So this time they did not address Jesus directly, but they addressed his disciples. So we see they did not go directly to Jesus to ask him the question. They addressed his followers. Look at verse 12 of Matthew 9. "So when Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So we see what was Jesus saying here. Jesus was saying that those religious leaders who think that they are spiritually well have no need for Jesus. But those who see themselves as sinners have the need to seek Jesus. They now have that need to seek Jesus because they see themselves as sinners. But these religious leaders didn't see themselves as sinners. They saw themselves as righteous. So they did not have no need for Jesus. So Jesus made it clear to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So those religious leaders who think that they were spiritually well have no need for Jesus. But those who are sick in sin, those who know that they are sinners, have the need to seek Jesus, who is the great physician. He's able to cure our sin sickness. He's able to cure our physical sickness. He is the perfect God-man, the great Messiah, the sympathizing Jesus, our great high priest who is touched with what we go through. So these ordinary people, the sinners, the tax collectors that were so ostracized from society, they were hated by the Jewish people. These people were the ones coming to Jesus for salvation. So we see when he called Matthew, and Matthew got up and followed him and brought him to his house, those tax collectors and sinners felt free to come into Matthew's house to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to turn their lives over. So they saw the need to seek Jesus, the great physician. But those religious people did not see the need to seek Jesus. They were so caught up in their self-righteous state that they did not see that they have need of a Savior. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 9. Jesus said, but go, he was speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus said, go and learn what this means. And people of God, Jesus was referring to Hosea 6:6, which the religious leaders, they knew the scriptures. They knew about the scriptures. So they knew exactly where Jesus was quoting from. So Hosea 6:6 said, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. So it was the Lord speaking, say, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. So what the Lord was saying here, I'm looking for mercy and not sacrifice. I want my people to be people who show mercy and not come in with all these sacrifices and have no mercy. And I'm looking for people who have a knowledge of God, who are in intimate relationship with God. I'm looking for intimacy. I'm looking for people who know me and stay in a relationship with me more than all the burnt offering. People of God, we can be coming and we can be doing all of these works in the kingdom of God, but we have no relationship with Jesus Christ. But Jesus is saying to us today, as he was speaking to the religious leaders then, that he desires mercy and not sacrifice. And he desires the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. So we need to come into that intimate relationship with Jesus and to know him personally and not think that our good works is enough. Good works will accompany people of God, us, when we start to really come into that deep relationship with Jesus, then we will want to do good works. So it comes to us to understand that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but our good works will not save us. The Lord wants us to come to a knowledge of him and to walk in a deep relationship with him. So we see these religious leaders were making a lot of sacrifices with the wrong motives. So God's desire is for his people to show mercy to others. Look at Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So this is what the Lord spoke to the prophet Micah. This is what he requires. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So we see the religious leaders were righteous in their own eyes. So Jesus was saying that he did not come to call the righteous, the self-righteous people, but those who will admit that they are sinners and will come to repentance. So Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when we see our sinful state, when we see that we are really sinners, we will come to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I know that you are the Son of God, and I know that you have come and you died on the cross for me. You rose again and you ascended on high. And I know that you are able to save me. So save me, Jesus. Save me from my sinful state. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whole. And Jesus will do that, people of God, when we come sincerely to him. Look on verse 14 of Matthew 9. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? So we see John had disciples as well, people of God. So they came to Jesus asking, we as John's disciples have to fast and the Pharisees have to fast. But why don't your disciples fast? But look at Jesus' response. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them and they will fast. So Jesus was saying, I'm here now with the disciples. There's no need for them to fast now. There's no need for them to afflict their souls at this time. But the time is going to come when I'm going to leave them. And they will have to fast then. That's a time when they will have to fast. Their prayers will have to be accompanied with fasting, people of God. They will have to fast and pray and touch heaven. So it is just showing us, while Jesus was there walking with them, Jesus was there in person. So they did not have no need to fast. Whatever their situation was, they could go to Jesus directly right there, for he was there with them in the physical. But when he leaves, then they will have to call out to him in prayer and fasting. Look at verse 16, people of God. Verse 16 of Matthew 9. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth and an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. So Jesus was making an illustration of patching an old garment with new cloth. The old will pull away from the new and make the tear worse. So we are going to see further on what Jesus was actually saying. Look at verse 17. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskin, or else the wineskin breaks. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskin and both are preserved. We see the analogy of the cloth and the wineskin. The new cloth and the new wineskin represent the doctrine of grace. The new cloth and the new wineskin represent the doctrine of grace that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the old cloth and the old wineskin represents the law that was given to Moses. And people of God, we understand the word tells us that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we see the doctrine of Christ has to be placed in a renewed mind, so that the new life in Christ can be manifested. We cannot mix grace and the law, people of God. If we try to do so, we will definitely fall from grace. We want what Christ has given to us to be preserved until he comes for us. People of God, we have to know that it is no grace dispensation. The law could not save us. The law is good and was good and will always be good. But people of God, it has no power to save us. The law points out our sins, but was not in a position to save us. But God's unmerited favor came through Jesus Christ. God's unmerited favor came to us. But this grace, people of God, has to be placed, this doctrine of grace has to be placed in a new mindset. We are going to look at Luke's version of this same word here that we are speaking about, the old wine, the new wineskin and the new cloth, and the old wineskin and the old cloth. So we are going to look at Luke's version of what Luke said in Luke 5, 36 to 39. Luke 5, 36 through 39. And the word tells us, then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled. And people have to understand, in those days, they have what we call wineskin. That's where they preserve their wine. But if the new wine, which has not yet fermented, is put in old wineskin, what do you think will happen? When it ferments, that wineskin will burst. So Jesus was showing them and making it clear to them. They would understand exactly what he was saying, because he was using everyday life situation to point out this message to them. So if this new wine is placed into old wineskin, that old wineskin will burst. So and the wine will be spilled, he said, and the wineskin will be ruined. It will be destroyed. Well, look at verse 38. But new wine must be put into new wineskin, and both are preserved. So we must put the gospel of grace into a renewed mind. Ask the Holy Spirit to renew our minds with the word of God, so that we can put this doctrine of grace into a renewed mindset, that people of God, it will be preserved. And no one, look at what verse 39 said of Luke 5. No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desire new. For he says the old is better. And people of God, that was what was happening to the religious leaders. They drank the old wine of the law. So they were so caught up in the law and trying to live the law, that they did not understand that grace has come. The unmerited favor of God has come to humanity through Jesus Christ. But they were still holding on to the old law. The word said, no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desire new. For he says the old is better. And that was what was happening to the religious people then. They were saying, listen to me, Jesus coming on the scene was causing change. They did not want to change, for they think that trying to live the law of Moses was better. Trying in their own human effort to live God's law, it can't work. It's only by God's grace, people of God, that we can truly live this Christian life. It's only by God's grace. And this grace, this gospel of grace, has to be placed in a heart and mind that is clean and renewed. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to renew our minds with the word of God, so that we can hold the gospel of grace in it. And we don't have to try to go back to the law to see if we can help God out. God does not need our help. Christ has completed the work at the cross. When he said it is finished, it is finished. Man's redemption is paid for, people of God, paid in full. So we have to now come to understand and put our faith in Jesus Christ and live the life that through the Spirit, be led by his Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we come to understand, children of God, that our minds have to be renewed, and we have to be walking in the Spirit. We have to be now living the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-led life, so that Christ will be seen in every area of our lives. We will live a life showing the fulfillment of the law in us. For love is the fulfillment of the law. And when we come to put our trust in Jesus and walking and being led by the Spirit, we will walk in love and so fulfill the law. So we see, people of God, that they were just concentrating and doing some works to please God, not knowing that God was calling them into that intimate relationship to know Jesus, to love him, and to do his will. So we don't want to fall from grace, but we want God's grace to continually lead us and guide us through. For his grace is sufficient for us. The word tells us that his grace has appeared to all men, teaching us, people of God, to walk godly in this present life. And look at verse 18 of Matthew 9. The word said, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. People have got such faith. Look at what the word said. This ruler came and worshipped Jesus. He gave Jesus worship, and it's showing us, people of God, that the first thing we do is to give Jesus the worship that is due to his great name. So this ruler came and worshipped Jesus. He didn't just come and say, my daughter has died. Come on and lay hands on him. But he came and he worshipped him. He recognized who he is. He recognized that he is the Messiah. He recognized that he is the Holy One of Israel. He recognized that he is the perfect God-man. So he came and he worshiped him. Then and saying, my daughter has just died. My daughter died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. So people of God, we see the faith of this man was so active that he believed that even in the dead state, even if his daughter is dead, this rabbi, this Messiah, this King of Kings was able to come and lay hands on her and she will live. He said, come and lay hand on her and she will live. Such faith, people of God, we have to understand that this man came, worshiped Jesus first, and then he said to him, he made his petition. So it is just showing us, people of God, the proper approach. We must worship Jesus first. So he came and he worshiped Jesus first, and then he gave his petition. He told Jesus his petition, my daughter has died, but you come and lay your hand on him, and she will live. Look at verse 19, says, so Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. We'll stop here for this evening, and we will continue next week from verse 19 of Matthew 9. Let us pray and close. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for reminding us, oh God, that you are the great and the almighty God, and with you all things are possible. I pray that our faith will increase, oh God, even like this ruler who came and worshiped Jesus, knowing who he is. I pray that we will know who you are, Jesus, and worship you, give you the worship that is due to your great name, and make our petitions known to you. So we pray today in the name of Jesus that you will enlighten us. Holy Spirit of God, illuminate your word to us, that we will understand your word and apply it unto wisdom. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for what you are doing in this season. And we pray that in everything, we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we say amen and amen. God bless you all this evening. Have a wonderful rest of this week. And we pray that you will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to you all. Amen and amen.
In the Lord is love, reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you.